want to welcome you back to Sling Stones. I hope you're experiencing God's blessing in your life and His presence, His strength, His support. It's January, and here in Ohio, it is bitter cold. It looks like we might have a break coming in a few days where it's going to get all the way up to 21 degrees, but right now at night, it is below zero and cold. On the other hand, it's absolutely beautiful. The sky is clear, the sun is shining and bright, and we're trusting God for good things. Today, we're going to finish up our conversation about authority. I was reflecting on the Gospels, and I was thinking about how many times people would hear Jesus teach, or hear him pray, or see him minister, and the scripture says that those folks were amazed at what they were hearing, and often their amazement was linked to the authority by which he did what he did. You know, Jesus had no title. He held no office. He wasn't recognized as a priest or a Pharisee or a Sadducee. He wasn't a rabbi. He was an everyday human being, the Son of God incarnate, who, because of a life that included awakening and abiding and anointing, ministered with tremendous authority in order to advance the kingdom of God. It's been a number of years ago now, 25 or 30, since I heard a series of lectures by a professor at Fuller. And this professor was talking about different crises that are being experienced by individuals that are in ministry today. And he talked about that there was a crisis of identity. People in ministry don't really know who they are. He talked about a crisis of integrity, that often the life they talk about is not the life they live. But he also spoke about a crisis of authority, a crisis of authority, that while people in ministry had something to say, there wasn't the power of a life filled with the presence of God behind their words that enabled minds to be changed and hearts to be transformed. And so he said, as a result of that, people are experiencing a crisis of authority. There was a day in our country where if you were a pastor, you were seen as one of the leading citizens in your community. There was even a time when you were referred to as the parson, which would have meant the person. Sometimes in villages in the 18th and 19th century, the pastor was the most educated, the most influential person in town. And as a result, they carried a certain amount of authority. But that certainly isn't true in our day, today. Now, when we begin to talk about authority, let's remember we're not talking about the authority of a degree or the authority of a title or the authority of an office. And there are many people in ministry today that seek that kind of authority. Well, it's okay, it's great to have an education and so forth, but the authority we're talking about is an authority of presence, that there's a moral authority present in an individual because of the life they live and the sense of God's anointing on their life that causes people to sit up and to take notice. That's the kind of authority that Jesus had. Now, you remember in our conversation about authority, we've already talked about the fact that Jesus is the cosmic Christ. He sits on the throne with worship occurring around him, and that all things are under him. We also talked about the fact that there is a mystery, but Scripture says it, that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and as a result, Jesus gives us authority. Authority to do what? To minister the kingdom the way he ministered the kingdom, as he tells us our specific instructions. Remember, we talked about the fact that Jesus was very clear. He didn't do whatever he wanted, but he was sent from heaven with specific ministries, specific words to do the specific will of God. And since we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, that's what's true of us. We don't get to simply choose to do whatever we want in the name of Jesus. To honor the name of Jesus, we must be prayerful and discerning to determine what it is that Christ is calling us to do. And then, once we know that, we step out in authority to be able to move forward to do precisely what it is that Jesus is telling us to do. And that we're always honoring the name of Jesus. We don't use his name in vain. We don't throw around his name at the end of prayers, but instead we recognize that to speak in his name, to pray in his name, means that our prayer is flowing out of Christ to us as we attempt to press forward with the kingdom of God. This is the notion of authority. So we're talking about this authority that is backed by the power of God. Remember, exousia is the Greek word for authority, dunamis is the Greek word for power, and that you as a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, you as a son or a daughter of God, has authority, and it's the authority of his presence in your life to move forward. Now, obviously the question is, how do we get that authority? And it's given to us by grace, totally by grace. It's not something we can earn. But once we do become the children of God, we are his sons and daughters, we are to act boldly, with humility, but yet firmly in responsibility to push forward what God is calling us to do in order that we're serving the kingdom of God. Now, it's obvious, isn't it, given what I've been talking about, that our ability to minister in this authority of presence happens as we continue to awaken, as we learn to abide more deeply, something we're going to talk about a little bit today. As the anointing of the Holy Spirit rests upon us, we then are able to move forward with God's anointing. And so this brings us back to the whole conversation about the ministry of Jesus and later his disciples. Now, as I begin to talk about that, I have a basic question that we're going to have to wrestle with, because I think what I'm about to share could demand a paradigm shift on the way we particularly pray for the sick and pray for the deliverance from powers of darkness and pray. So a couple of things I need to ask you. Maybe it's to say you have to come to a decision. Either the miraculous power of Jesus ended with the disciples or it did not. Okay, which of those two do you believe? Well, I believe it did not end. Either Jesus gave authority to his followers of who we are part, or he did not. So where do you fall on that? I think Jesus did give us authority. Either we are to do ministry the way Jesus did, or we are not. Now, I would argue that even as a pastor, there was a time in my life that I acted more like things ended, the miraculous power of God ended, that I didn't have authority, and that I wasn't doing ministry the way Jesus did. But that's not the starting point if we're going to have this discussion about authority. So, once again, either the miraculous power of Christ ended or it did not. Where do you choose to fall? Either Jesus gave authority to his disciples, including us, or he did not. And either we are to do as Jesus and his disciples did in ministry, or we are not. And boy, how you answer those questions makes a great difference in the rest of this discussion about authority. Now, what I'm going to tell you now, you're going to need to go to your Bible and check out, because to some degree it can be controversial. But I'm going to suggest something. No, I'm going to say something that I have found to be true in the Gospels and the book of Acts that is very different from the way we do ministry. Are you aware that Jesus did not pray for people to be healed, nor did he pray for them to be delivered from evil spirits? He didn't. Yes, Jesus lived a life of prayer, and yes, Jesus did abide, but when it came to healing, you can't find a single example in the Gospels where Jesus prayed for someone to get well, or where Jesus prayed for someone to be delivered by an evil spirit. Now, what I did for years and what many other Christians do is when we have somebody come to us and they're sick and they ask us to pray, we pray, "Oh, Father, in Jesus' name we come. We ask that you, Father, will heal them." But do you know that is not the way Jesus approached that aspect of kingdom ministry? He didn't pray for people to be healed. He healed them. He didn't deliver people from demonic presence. I pray for people to be delivered from demonic presence. He delivered them. And he didn't ask people if they wanted to repent. He commanded repentance. And what you begin to see is when you go to the book of Acts, Jesus had apparently taught his disciples to do exactly the same thing. I want you to go to your Bible and read the story in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. And what you're going to see is a healing that takes place there at a beautiful gate. And there is no sense that the disciples are stopping to pray for this person to be healed. But rather, in the name of Jesus, they said, rise up and walk. You see this at many other places in Scripture. The story of Dorcas, you know, she dies. There's then prayer. But then, after prayer, it says that she arose from the dead. You see, this is something that's very, very important because I was taught, and I wonder if you were taught, that we should be praying for the sick. But, you know, there isn't examples of that in the Gospel of Acts. Yes, it says in James, call for the elders, anoint with them oil, pray for the sick. But we're not sure exactly what that means given what the disciples did. Because the disciples walk with incredible authority. So what am I suggesting here? I'm suggesting that when we have authority that God has given us to act on his behalf, that we should, with humility, but in responsibility, boldly speak the will of God in that situation. So let's imagine that there was a time when you were being harassed. You actually feel there's a spirit that's harassing you. Now, in an old model, people would begin to pray, God, would you please come? Would you please push this spirit back and so forth? But what I think Scripture is teaching us here is that we should, from our position in the heavenlies, if we have a sense that God is saying, push it back, we should say, in the strong name of Jesus, I command this spirit to go, this presence to leave. Do you see the difference? Not, oh Lord, would you please come down here and make this happen, but instead I hear you speaking to me to move in authority to make this happen. Now this takes a lot of faith, and we're going to talk about risk when we get to the action segment of this discussion of these five A's. But I want you to understand that walking in power and authority means that there are these times when we move boldly forward in order to speak the word that Jesus wants spoken in a particular moment. Now, I want to say that there are people that will try to do this, maybe similar to the story in Acts 19, who have not experienced or are not experiencing awakening, deeper abiding, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So they try to act with authority, but there's no presence behind that authority. But as we begin living a life of saying, Holy Spirit, awaken me on and on to the movement of the kingdom and the fullness of what Christ has done and God in the present moment and take me deeper in my abiding and let the anointing of the Holy Spirit fall on me, that we can then begin to move in more authority. Now, one of the things that we see in Scripture is there's a relationship, it seems, between prayer and moving in authority because Jesus prayed all the time. The Bible tells us that he would go away in solitude. He prayed about whether he was to continue on with his healing ministry in a particular place. He prayed about who his disciples were that he would call. He talked about the fact that there are certain kinds of deliverance that don't happen if prayer does not accompany. But, you know, even in that story, when the disciples couldn't cast that demon out of the boy, Jesus didn't pray for the demon to go. He commanded the demon to go. Then he said, this type doesn't come out without prayer. What does that mean? You have to be living a life of prayer. There has to be prayer preceding. And so really, I guess the little phrase would be, when walking in authority, pray before, not for. Pray before, not for. And we see this all through the life of Jesus, his willingness to pray. I mentioned the story earlier of Paul and Dorcas, you know, dies. And Paul did pray, but after he prayed, it said he commanded Dorcas back to life. And there are all kinds of other scriptures that reinforce this notion. In Acts 28, verse 8, the Bible says that Paul prayed And after praying, he healed people. So you see, there is a relationship between abiding and moving in the authority that Christ wants us to have in our lives to do what Jesus called us to do. Now, I will admit, and this will come up again, this is frightening. And it is a huge paradigm shift. And whenever I've mentioned this at a seminar or in a teaching, I've had people run straight to their Bible because they're sure I'm wrong. But I don't have a single example in the New Testament Gospels or the book of Acts where people prayed for someone to be healed, prayed for someone to be delivered, but instead they prayed in their life and then they exercised authority by healing and by delivering. So what we see here, again, is there is a very close relationship between abiding and the presence of the Holy Spirit in order that we can move forward. Now, I want you to be clear. I don't think that I can just start walking around town and start commanding demons out of everyone because I've got to get my instructions from Jesus. You hear that? I've got to get my instructions. And so as he instructs me, I don't want to use his name in vain. I want to use his name specifically as the discernment of the Spirit has told me when I'm ministering to somebody. But the whole idea of this relationship of prayer being linked to authority is very, very important. In chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians, there's a lot of things that are said there that really link up this notion of authority and how prayer precedes authority. In Ephesians, it teaches us to pray in the Spirit. It teaches us to pray on all occasions, all kinds of prayer, and that we do that as a way of being prepared to exercise authority. I don't know who said it, but there was a person who made this comment. Satan laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. Now, I wonder why that is. I think it's because there is a relationship between prayer and us moving forward to really minister with more authority in our lives. You know, it brings me great comfort to know that there are two great intercessors always interceding on my behalf. Hebrews 7:25 says Jesus is interceding. He's interceding for you. And also Romans 8:26 says the Spirit is interceding. So wherever you are and you're listening, I want you to know that as God's child, Jesus is praying for you and the Holy Spirit is interceding for you. But there is a relationship between our abiding and our ability to exercise the authority that Christ has given us to really move forward in the kingdom of God. I mentioned J.A. McMillan the last time we were together. I hope you've looked up that book. I think it's called The Authority of the Intercessor. Listen to another one of his statements. For the greater struggles of our day and the thickening atmosphere into which we are entering, the church needs intercessors who have learned the secret of taking hold of the power of God and directing it against the strategic advances of the enemy. Do you hear that? Taking hold of the power of God and directing it against. You see, I think this is what I'm really captured by in this whole idea of exercising authority. I'm often turning to Jesus, bidding him to do things on my behalf. Well, part of my role is to sit with Christ, recognize my authority in him, and do what he is bidding me to do on his behalf, and to do it with boldness, and to do it with confidence, and to do it in his name as he is instructed. And so, here we are. We are his people. We are his colony of heaven. We are the salt. We are the light. It's important that we begin to understand this notion of authority. So let me sum this up. As we're finishing our little section on authority, I want us to remember a couple things. One of them is that all authority is coming from Jesus. He holds the power. But he has placed us with him. And as a result, we are given authority. And that authority is to work in his name, used wisely, not given in vain, according to the task that he has set before us, and that we are to do that with a great sense of the Holy Spirit's presence in our life, which gives us authority. Well, this is a lot for you to think about, I'm sure. I hope you go to your scriptures, dig out the Gospels, look at the book of Acts, see if what I'm saying holds some truth to it. But this is one thing I know, that we are to walk the way of Jesus the way Jesus walked away. And Jesus walked with miracle-working power, and he gave that power to his disciples, and he expected his followers then to reach out and to press back darkness in order to advance the kingdom in this world. Well, hey, God bless you. Remember, his face is shining on you.